Okay, praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we have been in the book of Acts, and we are still in Ephesus. And we are seeing the ministry that Paul is working in Ephesus. Yesterday, we were able to see how God worked such mighty miracles, extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. You know that even handkerchiefs, aprons that were brought from his body to the sick people were healed. And even evil spirits left them, you know. And although, you know, when this happened, we also saw that there were some Jewish exorcists. And these are people who try to cast out devils using their own power. They also attempted, and because they saw that the name of Jesus was working, they went and said, they will tell demons, I cast you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, it's interesting when you think about how people think the name of Jesus is just a charm that they can use, yet they don't understand that the name only responds to those who have intimacy with him. The name of Jesus is a place. It's a place where you are seated with Christ. When the Bible says he gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow. And what that tells you is that when you come to that name, it is a place that is above. And God knows those who are seated with him. God knows those who have been given the same authority as Christ, because the Bible says he has raised us up with him and sat us with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all rules, all powers, all dominions. And this he has done for the sake of the church. So all this power is available for the church, but it is only available to those who, by reason of use, to those who, by reason of intimacy, are granted authority. One of the things that Jesus will do is that even when he called his disciples, the Bible says that he called the 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them, and that he will give them authority to cast out demons. That means there was the most important thing. He called the 12 disciples, he ordained them apostles, and he called them that they might be with him. The first place to Jesus is to be with him. That is a place of intimacy. That is a place where you grow in discipleship, where you grow as a child, where you make mistakes and you are corrected, where you are taught the word of God, where you are discipled, where you learn to hear the voice of God, where your character is developed, where, you know, where beyond your character also you develop the mastery of your gifts. But then after you have been with him, then he said that he might send them. So now when it is in the sending, it is based on their level of growth, based on at that point where he feels that they have the capacity to be able to go and contend for the kingdom. Because one thing that we must know, that there is a contention for the kingdom. There is a contention in the marketplace. There is a contention of gods. There is warfare. And this is the same thing that Paul faces in Ephesus. And where we are going to see how this contention happens in the marketplace. And this is because of trade. And one of the things that you'll realize is that many of the conflicts, be it targeted at religion, ideally have to deal with the gods of men. And not only is it the gods about that the gods are powerful, but actually it's about what has really enslaved the people. And what we'll be able to see in the riot at Ephesus today is that the enslavement of the people who caused the issues to Paul was actually just that they lost their business from idolatry. It was the same way when those that owned the slave girl, when the demon was cast out, when that evil spirit was cast out that would do fortune telling for them, they saw that they will no longer have the same business that they had before, and so they caused a commotion. They beat up those of Paul and had them thrown in prison. And likewise also in Ephesus, we find that these traders, led by Demetrius, they realize that Paul has been preaching against idolatry in the whole of Asia, and people have believed him that gods are nothing, that, you know, idols are nothing. And they were like, look, we stand to lose a lot if this man continues here. So there is a battle for their souls and for their trade, and for them, their focus is the money they will lose, and they will not accept the gospel because of what they are going to lose. Think of the rich man, the young rich ruler that Jesus loved, and he said that all these things I have kept since I was young. But Jesus tells him, you lack one thing, go and sell your possessions, all your possessions, and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. And so many men are not ready to give up the world for their souls. And yet Jesus asked, what shall it profit a man to lose the whole, to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So really the heart of the matter, or the heart of the issue, was actually money, was actually trade, was actually selfishness. And you will find that there are many people who will refuse to convert, or who will refuse to turn to God because of what they will lose financially, because of what they will lose in their position, in their status in society, because of the privileges that they will lose. And because of that, they find the only way they can do is to oppose the gospel. Now, let us read. We are in Acts chapter 19, verse 21. The Bible says, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, and this is after he had ensured that the word of God had prevailed. He had preached for 2 years in Ephesus. Remember, the people with the witchcraft items, they brought them about 50,000 pieces of silver, which is valued at almost $9,300. All were burnt. All those books of magic arts were burnt, and many people believe. The Bible concludes that previous portion by telling us that so the word of God of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. That means it overcame. The word of Christ will always overcome every forces of darkness. So verse 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. And, you know, there's things that can draw you. And if you can do a study of how Paul is guided, of how Paul is led by the Spirit, you're going to find interesting statements like this one. He purposed in the Spirit. That means that he determined through the Holy Spirit and also in the Spirit, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that he must visit Rome. And the Bible says, when Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So Paul desired to go back to Jerusalem. He purposed in his spirit that he needs to go back to Jerusalem because he wanted to go back and complete his second missionary journey. But also beyond that, he wants to go to Rome. And this is one thing that you see about Paul, is that he is always determined to spread the gospel. He's always determined, even to people he has not met. And even that is why, even as he purposes to go to Rome, that is where he now writes the book of Romans. And that's why in the book of Romans, it is a defense of the gospel. We have done a good study on that, that he is a defense of the gospel to a people he had not met, but he knew that there were Jews and believers who were scattered, who had gone all the way to Rome. And he writes to them so that they can know why they believe. So Paul purposes to go to Rome in his heart, but he does not know that he will go as a prisoner. But you see, to him that does not matter. What matters is that he will get a chance to go to that city and to spread the gospel. Verse 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. Remember, he speaks of Timothy as a son with his father. He has labored with me in the work of the gospel. So Timothy and Erastus were Paul's servants. But you see, they minister, they work with him in the gospel until to the point where Paul is able to say, Timothy, my true son. He no longer looks at him as his servant, but he sends him to actually strengthen and to lead churches. That tells us that he did not just consider them as servants, but he considered them as sons in the gospel, and that those who are not only ministering to him, but also those that are serving with him. Now, he says, those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. Verse 23, and about that time there arose a great commotion about the way. When they speak about the way, they speak about the Christians. Verse 24, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. So here, when they speak of Diana, Diana was the god of the Ephesians. This was a goddess who was worshipped by the Ephesians, and they used to have, you know, what are they called, idols that they would sell by the craftsmen, and thus they made a lot of profit. The Bible tells us for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. We are rich by this trade. This trade has made us rich. This trade of idolatry has made us rich. Verse 26, moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So you can see the message of Paul was very clear. To the unknown God, to the God who is not made by human hands, who does not live in temples made by human hands, who is not an idol that a craftsman, you know, crafts in his furnace. No, this is the living God who is alive, who is a spirit, and who has proved himself by raising Jesus from the dead. So we know that Paul was really preaching against idolatry, and by that the whole of Asia had heard that these gods of the Ephesians, this goddess of the Ephesians was powerless. And so people were persuaded that they are not gods which are made by human hands. Verse 27, which are made by hands. Verse 27, so not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Look at how he starts. He ensures that he is appealing to their selfishness. The most important thing, the core of their matter, is their trade. Their trade is affected. And he said, but you see, even the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised. Now, they feel like they need to fight for their goddess. They feel that they need. You see, if God is God, God can fight for himself. God is able to fight for himself. He does not need any extra help from us. But you see, the challenge when men are worshipping lifeless gods, they have to fight for them. Think of the contest at Mount Carmel with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He told them, you cry out to your God, cry out. The God that answers by fire, he is God. So they cried out, and they cried out, and they cried out. And then at midday, he started mocking them. Oh, maybe your God has gone on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. And these guys kept on cutting themselves. But you see, these are mute idols. Verse 28, now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, and having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. Verse 30, and when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Look at Paul. There's a big riot. They are crazy and they're rioting. And for him, he wants to go. You know, for Paul, any crowd he sees is an opportunity to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter whether he is to lose his life or not. Him, his desire is to go and speak to them, to make a defense of the gospel before the crowd. He sees the opportunity for them to hear the gospel. But the disciples will not let him. Why? Because they need him. They know Paul is more valuable to them alive because he is a great teacher. Verse 31. Then some of the officials of Asia who were his friends sent to him, pleading that he will not venture into the theater. Verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Look at the madness of riots and the madness of crowds. You see, the challenge with all these riots is that it is psychology, group mentality, and the brains of the least person in the group becomes the brains of the entire group, because whatever the least person will do, that is what everyone will do because of mob psychology, mob mentality. And that is why it's very dangerous to be in such places. And so that's why these officials told him, please don't go. They ensure that that Paul does not go. And we can see verse 32 that, as you know, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come. And I also believe this is a confusion that God brought against these people who are trying to accuse Paul on their own accord, but God ensures that they are thrown into confusion. And that is what God will do even to those who are targeting to destroy us, those who are plotting, you know, their own plans of darkness against the people, against the church of God. God himself is able to bring them into confusion. Verse 33, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand, wanted to make his defense to the people. So I believe this is one of the believers who had believed and was with Paul. But then, so when they brought him and they wanted to make his defense to the people, verse 34. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. You can imagine 2 whole hours. People don't know why they are there. Some are saying one thing, another one thing. No one is hearing anything. And all they can say is, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Verse 35. So, and when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Remember, Zeus is the Greek god. Verse 36, therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other query to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. That means in the ecclesia. Remember when we spoke about the ecclesia is where the men in the city during the time of Rome would gather together and key decisions would be decided. So he said, if there's any other inquiry to be made, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. Verse 40, for we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. What is the core of the matter? The core of the matter is gain. The core of the matter is resources. The core of the matter is actually the marketplace. The battle here in Ephesus is not even just about the battle of the gods. It's really the battle in the marketplace where they are seeing how much will they lose, how much profit have they lost just because people are taught the right message. I tell you, falsehood will die a natural death when truth prevails. When we focus on preaching the truth of the gospel, the word of God, and people learn to know the truth, then what happens is that false prophets lose their market. Those that are advocating for witchcraft and for idol worship, they lose their market. Why? Because people know the truth. They're no longer bound in their vision. They're no longer bound in the place where they see God. They can see that the God that is alive is the God that lives inside of them. However, you expect there is going to be serious opposition from those who have benefited from falsehood. There is going to be great fight. They are going to fight. They are going to set up a cartel. They are going to throw you in prison. They are going to have you beaten up. But this is all because you speak to their dark histories. You speak against their trade. And unfortunately, many people do not convert, or many people do not turn to the gospel because of what they bound to lose, of the inheritance they bound to lose, because of the family members they bound to lose. But yet, at the end of the day, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Oppositions are bound to come. Oppositions can come from various sectors. They can come from human beings. They can come from spiritually. Remember, Paul also says that, if we fought, what does it profit us that we fought wild beasts while at Ephesus? He fought wild animals. He fought all these leaders that were against him. He struggled in the sea. You know, their boats were shipwrecked various times, countless times, all because he wanted to reach out the gospel to places that are new. And this is one of the things that we need to know as believers, that God is calling us to go and contend for the sake of the gospel, contend in our workplace, contend that our God becomes the only God that is able to be spoken. And I pray that in all these things, may God empower us, may God show us the way, give us wisdom, direct us, and until we meet again, that his hand shall sustain us. I pray that God will keep you in all these ways, and in all these ways, his protection shall be on your hand. I'm going to stop here, and I pray that my brother, you're welcome as God leads you. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Manu. Thank you very much. No addition from my side.
Okay. Sure. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I worship your holy name. Indeed, you know the challenges and the battles at the marketplace. You know the issues at the heart, the issues of trade, the issues of losing our souls for the sake of money. And unfortunately, many have lost their place because of resources. They have lost their assignments. They have not been faithful to serve God. And they focus so much on what they can gain and not what they can gain through the Holy Spirit. And they can gain for the gospel. I plead your mercies, O God, where we have traded earthly things for eternal things. May you have mercy, O God. May you have mercy that indeed we might examine ourselves and see that which you have called us to do, that which we need to do, that indeed may we be faithful to the word, faithful to truth. May we be encouraged. May we stick in alignment to your word, to your truth, to your grace, O God. May we know that you are God and that there is no other name like you, O God. We look unto you. You're a faithful Father. You're a faithful Lord. You are King, O God. Remember our family members. Watch over them. Your protection, your grace over them. You keep them, O God. Sustain them. Them that are needing opportunities, O God. The Lord that have lost their jobs, O God. The Lord, you are a provider. You're one that opens doors that no human being can shut. I pray for your presence to guide us, that watch over us, protect and keep us. We look unto your promises, O God, the yes and amen, O God. We need you each and every day, each and every hour. Guide us, protect us and keep us, O God. Protect us from the hands of the evildoers, from the hand of the metal workers, from the hands of those that seek to destroy us. Keep and sustain us. We look unto you. You are holy, you are worthy, and there is no one else like you, God. Blessed Redeemer, may your name be exalted and be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.